Welcome to our sixth podcast on internal communication practice governance. Last time, we looked at why it's vital that internal communication has a demonstrably valid definition upon which everybody is agreed. So in this session, we're going to make a start on producing just such a definition. Because it's bad enough if IC specialists are arguing at cross purposes with non-specialists when discussing IC, but it's painfully clear that we internal communication specialists haven't even agreed that definition among ourselves. And you wonder why so often we seem to have to go back to square one whenever someone new arrives in an organization's leadership team. So to kick this off, maybe it would be useful to muse for a moment on the following question. When is an internal communication not an internal communication? Now, you might think that question is daft or the answer is fairly obvious, but is it? Because the following client conversation we had a while back may help to illustrate a rather interesting problem. It happened when a particular IC project had bypassed the internal communication team and gone wrong. So we started by asking the IC manager, why weren't you involved in this communication? And she said, because it was a communication from the pensions admin department about changes to company pension scheme contributions. Right, so it was a communication that came from people inside the organisation. Oh yes, and it went out to, well, it went to all employees. Right, so, but solely to people inside the organisation then. Absolutely. So no one outside the organisation received this communication. Of course not. So it was a communication from people inside the organisation that went only to people inside the organisation. That's right. So it was an internal communication. No, what? It was an HR communication. You see the problem? This conversation really did happen, and it got even more loopy because the internal communication manager in question was responsible for this company's cascade process. So apparently, if the communication had been delivered through the team brief, which it could have been, rather than going direct from pensions admin, it would have been an internal communication, even though it would have been exactly the same message coming from exactly the same people and going to exactly the same people. Is this not insane? Now, whatever your thoughts on the matter, this client was far from alone. That attitude is really commonplace because it turns out that without necessarily even realizing they're doing so, many internal communication managers have long been basing their definition of IC on a flawed syllogism, which goes like this. My team does internal communication. Therefore, internal communication is what my team does. Therefore, if my team doesn't do it, it isn't internal communication. Now, of course, it's easy to poke fun, but to be fair, it's hard not to have a certain amount of sympathy with this. You know, after all, if you're an internal communication manager, how can it be reasonable to expect you to take the rap for things that are beyond your control? Obviously, that's absurd. On the other hand, how on earth can anyone be clear about the purpose of internal communication if its very definition can change moment to moment on the whim of a pensions administrator? This is yet another part of IC's nonsensical cultural inheritance bequeathed to all of us by our predecessors, who of course inherited it from their forebears and so on and so on. So yet again, no one is really to blame for this situation, but it is, let's be honest, completely mad. Enough. It's time to end this crazy once and for all. Clearly, we need a different method of defining what is and what is not internal communication. And if possible, that definition needs to reconcile two seemingly irreconcilable issues. On the one hand, the definition needs to encompass all the differing opinions so that it doesn't keep changing moment to moment. And people won't be talking at cross purposes when discussing internal communication because it will mean the same thing to everybody. But on the other hand, that stable, holistic definition can't leave IC specialists carrying the can for problems they never created. So on the face of it, these two issues seem to be about as compatible as fire and ice. But if we address them separately, maybe we can find a solution. If we start by focusing solely on that first all-embracing requirement, the definition can be pretty simple to arrive at. We could begin by accepting that if it's something being communicated by anyone or any group inside an organization, and if it's being received only by other individuals or groups inside that same organization, it is surely an internal communication. Now, obviously, that definition so far is not the whole story, but can we accept that we have at least got a logical starting point? Now, if you want, you could replace the word organization with the phrase working party, which could include folk from different organizations that have come together to work on a specific project. For our purposes, though, we'll use organization as a form of shorthand for both. So, something is being communicated by one or more people inside an organization and being received by one or more other folk inside that same organization. That's our starting point. And having established this as a logical place to begin, we also need to recognize that such a broad definition would also include all the social chit-chat going on between colleagues. You know, and asking a co-worker if their mother's knee is getting better or how their son's piano recital went at the weekend is clearly not appropriate for us to include here. So maybe we need to refine our definition and say that it counts as internal business communication only if it concerns the fulfillment of the organization's reason for existing. How does that sound? Does that seem reasonable? Well, up to a point perhaps, but something's still not quite right, is it? Because what about all the communicating that needs to happen between employer and employee just to manage their relationships with one another? You know, how to go about booking holidays or claim expenses or reporting broken chairs and so on. These surely count as valid internal communications as well, do they not? Even though they're not directly about fulfilling the organization's purpose. So it seems then that our definition also needs to include those communications which indirectly enable the organization to fulfill its reason for existing by facilitating the relationship between employer and employee. Does this make sense to you? Because if it does, it seems to give us a workable definition of internal communication, which we can sum up as follows. Internal communication is all communicating that goes on inside an organization which has the purpose of directly or indirectly enabling that organization to fulfill its reason for existing. Now, this is kind of important. This is the whole point of this session. So let's just go through it one more time. Internal communication is all communicating that goes on inside an organization which has the purpose of directly or indirectly enabling that organization to fulfill its reason for existing. As far as we can see, there does seem to be a kind of inescapable logic to this way of defining internal communication. However, and it is a big, however, a huge one, because it does still leave us with that second challenge, given that the IC function cannot possibly be responsible for all this, certainly not given its current job remit and the resources it has at the moment. So this needs a little thought, does it not? Because the question of how much responsibility the IC function should have for everything encompassed by this definition will depend on which way the leadership team want to jump. Think of it like this. Let's just imagine that your organization wanted to improve its financial management. Would not the leadership team turn to the finance department to review the current practices and then design, implement, and oversee new ones? After all, the finance team are the experts in that discipline. And it doesn't mean that they would have to fill in everyone else's budget returns, does it? No, their job is to set up the rules of the game for everybody else to follow and step in only if somebody isn't playing ball. And they are able to do this only because they have the necessary staff, budget, and authority to do it. And this is exactly the principle behind IC practice governance. The IC team might be able to take on responsibility for much more internal communication than it currently does, but only if it is given the staffing, budget, and authority. The question is then, for how much of your organization's internal communication would the leadership team want the IC function to be responsible? Not doing the actual communicating, but setting up and overseeing the practices which others are using when they communicate. Now, if the leaders want the IC function to be responsible for the quality of all internal communication, they'll have to give you the resources and authority to take on that responsibility. And if the leadership team aren't going to provide those resources to do that, you then explicitly agree which aspects the IC function will be responsible for of all the internal communication covered by our holistic definition. And that means the holistic definition itself can still stand. It can remain stable and all-embracing, so everybody can always be talking about the same thing. And the IC function can be accountable only for those aspects of IC activity which you have explicitly agreed with the leadership team and for which you have the necessary people, budget, and authority. But how is that different from where you are at the moment? Well, because those limits will have been defined against a stable definition which everybody understands, everyone in the organization can know what those explicit limits are, what they mean, and why they are as they are. So no one will ever again be able to suck you into doing things for which you don't have the necessary resources. Importantly, though, the very act of having the conversation with your leadership team about this may open their eyes to the possibility of the IC function being able to play a much bigger role than it has to date in your organization's success. So if you were thinking of having that conversation, you might first want to pause for a moment and check, well, would you really want your role to grow that much? Because, you know, once the genie's out of the bottle, your leadership team may suddenly be saying, hey, we'd like you to do this much bigger thing. Okay, what exactly would that involve? What might you find yourself taking on? How can you make an informed decision about this before letting anyone else in on the game? Well, one thing you could do is book a free communication game workshop in which we can walk you through the basics of what IC practice governance would likely involve, the all-important what's in it for you, and how you could start having those conversations in a way which leaves you in control. But there is one more thing we need to discuss, because, of course, this holistic definition we've come up with is just one perspective. Now, we believe there is an irresistible logic behind it, which we feel makes it demonstrably valid. However, we are no more immune to blind spots than anyone else, which means you may see it quite differently from us. So inevitably, we are open to other perspectives. After all, if there's ever going to be a definition everybody can agree on, we all need to discuss those additional points of view. So do please share any alternatives you can think of in the IC Practice Governance group on LinkedIn, because only when we all have an agreed definition of IC will it be possible to be justifiably confident in what its purpose is. And it is that purpose we'll be looking at in our next podcast. As ever, if you don't want to wait till next week and you're keen to find out more about this subject, you can tap into the dozens of free resources available at comgame.co.uk. As always, thank you so much for listening, and do get in touch if there's anything you want to share.